Pints and Vibes Podcast is the perfect wrestling podcast. There's a guy named Al, and there's Danielle, and this guy, Mike Eagle, is there as well. Tights and Bites Podcast. Tights and Bites.
We're a three-person podcast! Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages. Welcome to Tights and Fights, the show that discusses wrestling with the sincerity and hilarity that it deserves. I'm Hal Loveland, and I'm joined back in the booth by my fellow leader of the Nation of Conversation, the baddest birthday boss in L.A., Danielle Radford.
Hi.
And not with us today is Open Mic Eagle. He's off playing live music and didn't have time to discuss wrestling.
Oh, my name's Mike. I have a career.
Oh, is he here? Oh, no, wait. You were doing an impression of him.
I told you, guys, I kill at impressions.
Well, don't fear. Wait, do me.
Hi, I'm Hal.
It's like I'm listening to a mirror.
I'm so good at this.
Never fear, everybody. In addition to Frida Travellino over there, we've got a new member of the Nation of Conversation. Rachel Evans.
Oh, hi.
Yay.
Hey, Rachel. She is a content manager for the YouTube series Snarled and a frequent commentator on wrestling on various web shows like AfterBuzz TV.
Mm-hmm.
Rachel.
What's
welcome
up?
Welcome to Tights and Fights. It's great to have you with us.
Goodness gracious. I am so glad to be here.
Yay.
I couldn't tell if that was you or if it was Danielle doing an impression of you.
I am so good. I am nailing it.
It's so
Why
good.
Am I not so famous?
I do a good Danielle impression.
Yeah, what is it?
Yay!
Oh, that's so good. That's so good.
Rachel, before we jump into the show, tell me a little bit about your history with pro wrestling. Like, when did you get into it? And
oh, sure. Yeah, I've been watching wrestling my entire life for as long as I have memories. My dad watched it from its inception, like early 70s, watched it when it was regional, and now I've devoted my life to it, which is a mistake. No. It's been great. No, I love it. And now, I was just WWE growing up, and then, you know, the older you get, the more you throw yourself into the thing that you love. So now I like all the things.
Fantastic. And it's all led you here.
Thank God.
Here you are.
So this is the pinnacle.
This is the culmination.
Welcome. The small foam-covered room.
I love it
the pinnacle
here.
Of wrestling
talking. I feel really
talking.
Safe in here, I gotta all tell right. you.
You're in a safe space. Let's kick it off.
Cool.
As always, it's been a busy week in the world of wrestling that we're going to talk about. We've got a pair of faces that are turning heel, a retirement fakeout, a not-so-final deletion, and a lot more. But first, Danielle, happy birthday, boo.
Hi.
You're the birthday girl.
I did it. I did a thing. Oh. I turned an age.
Now, I was not here to celebrate. However, I heard you got a special cake.
I did. My super cool, awesome, rad partner, Derek Lemos, got me a huge sheet cake with Sasha on it. And it was amazing, and it was a great surprise. And it was awesome. Unfortunately, it was one of those ones where her wig's pushed real back. So there wasn't a lot of edge blending on it, but she's still Sasha, and it still looks great. And the funny kind of shitty thing that, like, so before my party was on Monday, and before we went out, we watched Raw, and I was like, I'm getting ready, and I'm like, oh, shit, let me not put my mascara on yet because Sasha keeps saying that she has an announcement. And Derek is still sitting there like stone-faced, like not saying anything. But I was like, wow, how fucked up would it have been if I had spent like a lot of time crying, getting it together for my birthday party, and then I open it up and it's a Sasha cake and she'd actually retired.
That would be serendipitous, like a beautiful... beautiful thing, I think.
Yeah, I think that it would have been the pinnacle of her career.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
You know, NXT, women's champion.
Whatever.
Face on my cake.
That's the top.
That's the top.
That's like the foam-coated room of cakes.
Foam-coated podcast room of cakes.
Did you save the Sasha, right?
I saved the Sash. No one else could eat the Sash. So I have her face in my refrigerator.
Do you give her little kisses? Do you give a little kisses?
I give him a little kisses.
Okay.
Did you? Are you going to wrap it in foil and then eat it a year later like it's the topper of a wedding cake?
Gross.
Don't act like I have not thought about it.
Don't wait too long because I tried that with my wedding cake and did not work.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think we waited too long. I think we did like the 5-year anniversary.
You shouldn't wait to eat perishable food. I don't get
people,
it.
It's a wedding cake thing.
I don't understand you people.
Yeah. Freezers are not a cure-all. That's what I learned.
Mm.
Well, dear listener, if you haven't already, why don't you go out there on the social media, and wish Danielle a happy birthday. It's not too late.
It's never too late to praise me.
Yeah, Emily Post says. All right, but what better way to celebrate the birthday of one of our own than talking about the wrestling that we know and love? Last week, we properly gushed about Kevin Owens, our new champion of the universe. So why not pick up where we left off? The celebration of the KO era kicked off on Raw this week. Owens wore a suit. Stephanie McMahon and Mick Foley were in the ring. There were balloons, and all was going according to plan until they were interrupted by Seth Rollins. Let's take a listen to what Rollins had to say about Owens.
He's been Triple H's chosen one from day one. From the moment he stepped foot in NXT, he's had his hand held the entire way. But if you want to hitch your wagons to this guy here, make him the face of the new era, then mark my words, I will be the one to burn it to the ground. And you... and your husband, the king and queen, you're gonna be on your knees begging and pleading in a pile of rubble. You got me.
Where was this passion these past few months, huh? Because let's be honest here, ever since you came back from your little injury, it seems to me like the architect has only been designing blueprints for, total failure.
So there you go. He's kind of playing a tweener role right now, but people have been wanting Rollins to turn face ever since he came back from injury. That sort of seems to be the general storyline when somebody who's injured comes back. As they leave a heel, come back a face. Triple H did it, of course, in 2002. So do you think these are the first steps towards that?
You know, I never know anymore. Because a lot of times people will suddenly start wrestling like heels, or they're still talking like faces and doing things that faces should be doing, and then they're just still the same. We're still supposed to boo from them and fuck up their merch sales. So, like, I hope so. I mean, he should have turned as soon as he came back. He should have came back a face.
They teased it a little bit.
Yeah, like he had the whole face. They did the 24. Yeah. He had the whole thing of I'm coming to reclaim the title I never lost. Like, that's beautiful face work. And then just, meh. I would like to see him as a face because we don't really have a lot of real good top baby faces over on Raw.
I like a rogue baby face like him. Like, I don't think, in my head, Rollins isn't going to be a face, like a traditional face. Mm-hmm. It's just more different people for him to hate.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
I love. Like, he's going to be Stone Cold face. Like, he's a face in that he's a rogue. He just doesn't agree with the authority anymore.
Which I'm totally, that's
I love
totally
that.
Great.
Yeah, I love that. I love it.
Yeah, I don't like that thing where a heel becomes a face and then all of a sudden he's accepted or she is accepted by the babyface population at large.
They're
yeah,
like, and then walk out and they're like, Detroit, my favorite city. I'm like, shut up.
Yeah.
And they're like kissing puppies
exactly.
and like sucking up to babies. Like, I don't need that.
I don't need to see my Seth Rollins kissing a baby. Unless it's me. Unless I am that baby.
Yeah. You are a tiny, tiny woman.
I'm super short.
You're just going to roll yourself up to his front porch in like a stroller with a note pinned to you.
Somebody
please
swaddle
kiss.
Me. Yeah. Somebody swaddle me and just throw me at Seth Rollins. Kiss my face.
But they handled the turning of Rollins against the other members of the Shield really well in that once that happened, you had two faces created who nobody in the locker room liked.
Yeah.
So now the heels don't like them because they're baby faces, but the baby faces don't like them because they spent a year running roughshod over the entire roster.
Mm. Yeah, real big fan when they remember things that have happened on the television show that they run.
Yeah, that's like, oh, that's history. Like, you could look back. You could...
Yeah, you actually taped that. Did
yeah,
you guys know you taped those?
For $9.99 a month, you can go through your own archives.
Yeah, like, that's great. Do you not have $10?
No.
Is that what happened?
Do we need to loan the WWE some money to watch their tapes?
But sell more merch. Get the WWE Network. WWE.
Do they have Venmo?
Yeah.
I got you, baby.
So how do you handle this transition if you have the book? Do you keep it going slowly until Mania, or do you use this month leading up to Backlash to basically solidify him as whatever that version of, whether it's a rogue face or if he goes more traditional white hat baby face.
Yeah.
Well, I think you mean Clash of Champions because we have a million pay-per-views.
Sorry,
now.
Wrong pay-per-view.
Yeah, wrong pay-per-view that we have two of this month for no good goddamn reason.
Uh-huh. Yeah, tiny cards. Tiny cards so far. I guess they have time to build the cards.
Little
That's
baby
okay.
cards. Little well, Clash of, like, Backlash is in, like, 2 days.
And I forgot
wow. it was happening.
Yeah.
I'm on this podcast right now and I forgot it was happening. Yeah. Okay. Are they gonna announce any more stuff? Nope. This is what we're doing.
This is where we're at.
This is what we're doing.
This is what we did.
Cool. Sure. Yeah. I hope it goes slow. I hope they take their time with it. The worst thing that the WWE does is push something into our faces before we're ready to see it.
Yeah.
And I think Rollins has been such a good heel that it's gonna take time for him to become somebody that this sounds condescending. I was about to say the layman fan. That's condescending. What do I say? What else do I say that is not that?
You say the non-hardcore fan.
Sure.
There you go. The casual
fan. It's going to take a lot for the kids to cheer him. And I think they need to be careful. What? No, you don't think so?
Well, I don't know if the kids are ever going to cheer a Rollins. They could. I don't see him being someone that all of a sudden the kids are like, I'm going to buy all of his merch.
I don't know. I was smashing beers at 9. Like, I was...
and dressing up as a baby and showing up on people's front steps.
Yeah, I don't see anything wrong with anything that you're saying.
Please, Adam Bomb, swaddle me. All right, let's stick with Raw for a second.
Right.
Here's a subject that listener Steven Toropov brought up in the Tights and Fights Facebook group. Sasha Banks pulled out a version of the classic retirement fake-out speech. She set up her speech, kind of hint that her injuries might be forcing her to step away from the ring before showing it was just a work to build her rematch with Charlotte. This is hardly the first time this has been done. This is classic wrestling trope. Cena's done it. Mark Henry's done it. Randy Orton's done it. The list goes on and on. With so many wrestlers actually taking early retirement from the ring, do you think WWE should keep using this trick? Does it feel unfairly manipulative?
Yeah, no, it was stupid. I hated every moment of it. And Sasha's my girl, and y'all know that I stand for her and for her edges, but like, I can't, because I didn't know if it was going to be, until she got to the part where she was like, Charlotte won that match fair and square. And then I was like, okay, this is a work. It's fine. And then Dana comes out and I'm like, all right, great. It's a workity work. But I definitely didn't know for a second. I neglected putting my mascara on because I thought that she was going to, I was going to cry my face off before my birthday party.
Are you just mad because you got worked? You're just mad because you got worked.
No, I'm also mad because it wasn't great. I kind of said, I sided with Daniel Bryan. Like, it wasn't Sasha. Again, she is my fave. She is my boo. I love Sasha. Her mic skills are still not super strong yet.
Yeah.
And it's like you could watch her trying to cry.
Yeah.
Like at a certain point, and it was like not great. And then just that whole trope of like, Mark Henry did that so legendarily that like, if you're going to come out and do that, especially since like, everyone's putting on Owen voice and she's putting on Daniel voice where she's like, I might have that. And it's like, not only is it manipulative, it also just wasn't good and it's no longer original.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need to, you know, write more things, write other things.
I think that they do this constantly where they just recycle the same tropes. And I don't really have much of a problem with that because I see what it is and I get it. If her, I love Sasha as well. She's a wonderful lady. Was that convincing?
You sold it.
She's not great on the mic. And so I think that if she really sold it and she went out there and cried, just put some rubbing alcohol under her eyelids. Like, if she just went out there and really sold it, I would have been all for it because I like being worked.
She's Sasha fucking Banks. Like, crying is like, that's her thing. Like, that's as much her gimmick as wearing sunglasses.
She had a hard night.
Like, you know, like, that's as much of her thing as anything. So it's like, if she would have come out and her eyes were already red and she looked like she was fighting back tears in the way that we've seen her do literally every time anything significant has happened to her.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not one of those people who's like, Sasha cries too much. I think it's fucking great. I want to see actual emotion and I want to be connected to it. And that's part of why I hated the segment, is there was no emotional connection there. You know, she wasn't being... She's not that good yet,
no.
You know, and it's a bummer. But try that trick next time her little body gets injured.
See, I like the information in it. Like, it was more character development than she's had since she showed up. Because all we've seen is just, hey, this is exactly what she was doing in NXT. So if you were a fan of her there, then you're going to appreciate this. But you didn't need all the fake retirement stuff. So I agree with that. And all the report, they did do a good job of at least keeping it mysterious, because all the reports I was reading was she met with doctors and she was going to give a status update.
Well, I was so convinced I was being worked. I was like, she's just on her honeymoon. Like, she doesn't, she says she's fine. But then I found myself trying to convince myself. I was like, she's okay. We're being worked. And then I was like, oh, okay. I think I might believe them. I might believe that she's injured. And then when she came out there and was supposed to work us to the point of, is she injured? I didn't believe it at all.
No.
So it wasn't successful. It didn't work. Sorry, baby.
Yeah. Sorry, baby. I mean, I kind of don't even want to see her chase at this point.
Oh.
Like, I think I want to see her do something else to get back into contention.
Like,
dance? get her ass beat, have Charlotte beat her ass, and then have her earn her way back into the title picture. Because the way she put it, was like she dropped the title to go get married and go on honeymoon and then come back and they're going to give it to her in a month?
I don't think they're going to give it to her.
Well, and she was, to be fair, she was injured and she did think she was going to have surgery.
Right.
And it turned out that we got lucky and she didn't have to be...
She
didn't have to be gone as long as she thought, because she thought that she was, I thought she was like me, where she just didn't have a back anymore.
Right.
And so
I
got very nervous.
She could be heading for that if she doesn't be careful. Like, she doesn't need... You've pointed this out a lot. Like, she takes bumps she doesn't need to take.
Yeah.
She could be working, and I know she's 22, 23.
Yeah, 23.
She's a kid, so her body's still somewhat resilient. But if she can start working smarter, not harder, she'll still have great matches and she'll be around a lot longer for all of us to enjoy.
Take notes from Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
Please.
Pay attention to the cautionary tale that is Daniel Bryan. Speaking of Daniel Bryan, let's move over to his show on the Blue Brand. Now, when I say heel, y'all say turn. Heel!
Turn.
Heel!
Turn.
The Usos just turned heel on American Alpha.
We're turning heel.
That's it. That's all I got.
Was that your Usos impression?
That's my... You thought that it was playing right here in the studio.
No.
Yeah. Are Jimmy and Jay here?
I was like, where's my grill? I'm going to join, They all have grills. I don't know. I don't get it.
So after a failed attempt to jump American Alpha and losing in 30 seconds or less...
Fools.
They went to shake hands with the boys in red, white, and blue, only to turn on them with a super kick and a working over of Gable's left knee.
Don't hurt my baby.
And now, your baby is not going to be a Backlash because they are not medically cleared to compete as a team anymore. So it's a bummer for all those people out there who are hoping that American Alpha was going to sweep in and take the tag titles and become the inaugural tag title holders. But this also means we can cheer for Heath Slater and his new partner and perhaps future representative in the U.S. government, Terry Rhino Guerin.
I love that JBL was like, he's not going to win. He's too honest. It's like, all right.
Well, I mean, got a point. I think that was categorically the right thing to do.
Yeah. It was great storytelling in a
wonderful,
short segment.
It was surprisingly, wow, you did the exact right thing.
And you could see them, on their appearances leading up to this, you could see where that had been coming from. I thought that was great. I'm okay with American Alpha not getting the title at Backlash. Like, go ahead and let us salivate for it. Like, let us want it a little bit harder rather than having them come in and kick the doors off. I'm totally, totally okay with it.
They just can't compete with the Slater Heat right now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's too good.
And you don't have to make that choice now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll always be, I mean, they're dope, they're young, they're going to get their chance, so it's good. What is it like, are the Usos and Naomi not allowed to be faces or heels at the same time? Like, does it have to be?
I like that because it means they're not dependent on one another.
Yeah, no, I think like, that's what they're doing and it's
good. She's her own person and is interesting on her own without having to, because she became their valet.
For a second, which was like, she's one of the most talented women on the roster who's underused. Yeah.
So I assume we all think that Slater and Rhino are going to win those titles.
I'll pray on it.
This Sunday at Blacklash.
Yeah, give them something. I'm going to charge my crystals.
Yeah.
Yeah, charging up my crystals. I'm going to light some candles and some incense. And
so do you think putting the titles on them is the correct move? And if so, how long do you keep them with the belts? Is this Mick Foley at SummerSlam 99 where he drops it the next night because they need to transition it over to the Usos, but they need to keep Slater on SmackDown? I mean, what? Because for me, I'll tell you what I want to see rather than like waiting it out, because then it feels like I'm the guy who's saying, how are you doing? Because I'm just waiting for you to ask me how I'm doing,
Yeah.
which is not cool. Don't do that. If you're out there listening, just tell somebody how you're feeling.
Yeah.
And then ask them how they're feeling if you care. If not,
communication is great.
You're saying go in feelings first.
Yeah. Go feelings first. This is what I would keep the belts on them for what seems like an absurdly long amount of time and have Rhino continue to do all of the dirty work, because that's essentially what's happening right now is Rhino comes in and does the cleanup work.
Yeah.
And then have Rhino resent that.
He's like, I don't
want to
do your dirty work.
Keep Slater babyface. Hashtag keep Slater babyface.
Oh, yes. I hope that they give them the titles and then let them run free for a little bit to put them over sufficiently to the point where everyone's like, okay, can we do the real one now? Like,
this has been super fun.
Seriously, we needed some lightheartedness. Like, this is great, and I'm here for it. Give it to them for, I don't know, maybe a month.
Yeah, I don't want the title on them for longer than a month. I don't want them to lose it the next night, because then that's it. It's over. Like, then it's done. But I definitely do not, like, I don't want to be having this conversation at Mania when we're like, well, when are they going to lose the titles? Like, no.
But that would be a sign of them forgetting that the titles existed, and then you start putting them on the pre-show.
Yeah.
As opposed to, like, is there story to be had out of keeping the belts on them longer, even for longer than even a month, where that forwards the story between those two, allows you to build up some of the heel teams in your division. Meanwhile, the story of American Alpha is every time they try to get a shot at the straps, the Usos cut them off. They're constantly in their way. The Usos get the belts instead of them, and then you build a chase that ends at Mania.
I guess I'm also thinking practically, like, how much longer do we have Rhino before he has to, like, I mean, I'm sure he just flies out just for Tuesdays, but also, like, I mean, his election's in, like, November, so, like, how long is he off TV after the, I mean, I assume he's only on TV, and that's why they're not having him say words, because he's only on TV so that people remember who he is, so that they vote for him. And so after November, like, it's like that thing when people come back and they have to plug a movie, but he's plugging himself to run something.
Okay. Yeah.
So I don't know if we're still going to have him after the November elections.
Well, no, I don't think we will.
I'm looking forward to the debate where instead of answering any questions, he just eats crackers with cheese on him.
Yeah. Cheese whizzes is. Do politicians have mascots? Nope. Okay, cool. Great.
Well, that about does it for the news. If we missed anything, and I'm sure we did, join our Facebook group and make the post yourself to get us talking. Find the group at facebook.com/groups/tightsfights. When we come back, we're going to speak more about a certain broken wrestler that's coming up in just a minute on Tights and Fights.
I'm Jesse Thorne, and I'm curious about Jonathan Van Ness and his show, Getting Curious. How do you pick something that's going to be on Getting Curious?
My only prerequisite is that I actually need to be curious about it.
It seems like there is really no question that you won't ask.
That is correct. I'm a fearless Katie Couric in that way.
Getting Curious, the show about everything. Download it wherever you get podcasts.
And if the Martha Stewart of Max Fun tells you to download a podcast, you just got to do it.
Tights and Fights Podcast. Tights and Fights.
Welcome back to Tights and Fights. I'm Hal Lublin. With me in the booth to talk about all things wrestling are Sister Nero,
Danielle Radford,
and other Sister Nero.
Oh, Rachel Evans.
Every wrestler needs a gimmick. Some are subtle, some not so much. But every once in a while, a wrestler's gimmick ends up taking on a life of its own in a way that requires discussion. We're going to spotlight those in a new segment we call Gimmick Corner. Theme music? Nope, not yet. In this installment, Broken Matt Hardy. We all used to know Matt Hardy as a member of the famous Hardy Boys, then as Matt Hardy version 1. It's a persona that worked well enough for him in WWE and TNA, but recently he started adopting this broken persona with this super teased hair and this what is supposed to be a British accent, I think, but it's just North Carolina.
I have no idea what's happening there.
No, it's an elevated accent, he says.
Ah,
It's when in 150 years, this is how all humans will speak.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right, because he's from the future. Transcends time and the seven deities.
True.
In fact, why don't we take a quick listen to that? And this is Broken Matt Hardy speaking to a beaten down rowboat. And if you didn't already know, when Matt says brother Nero, he's referring to his actual brother, Jeffrey Hardy. Take a listen.
My friend, mi amigo. You are so much more than a dilapidated bit. You shielded me from the demonic fire of Brother Nero. You deserve a name. I shall call you Skarsgård. Skarsgård, may I indulge in your usage as we bury the material remains of Brother Nero.
Hear that, everybody? Boat's name is Skarsgård. In case you didn't know.
I mean, okay.
It's one of the brothers.
Yeah.
Skarsgård, dilapidated boat. Now, Danielle, you've said this gimmick got you back into TNA after you lapsed a bit as a viewer. What's making this work for you?
That it's stupid. I like it because it's ridiculous and it's stupid and it's heightened. I like that it's them taking a risk and throwing things against the wall and seeing if it sticks. In this case, apparently, it's like one of those, like, if you make spaghetti and, like, you just leave it on the wall and just never fucking take it off. They're just going to keep doing it and going back to this well, which I disagree with.
It's a spaghetti wall now.
Yeah.
That's just what it is.
It's like, I'm from Seattle and we have the gum wall where, like, people just for years just, like, put their gross-ass gum on some wall.
It's really awful.
It's a tourist spot and it's disgusting and it smells like hot breath. But people go there when you go down to that. So that's what it's like. Like, you just put it on there and it's stuck and now y'all just keep adding smelly breath gum.
Yeah.
Mm.
I will say this.
Okay.
I just want to talk about the gum wall. No, as far as Matt Hardy's, I've always been Matt Hardy more than Jeff Hardy.
For sure.
For as long as I've been a fan of the Hardy Boys. Jeff has the charisma, but Matt has a mind for the business where he's always been over in one way or another. He was over as one of the Hardy Boys. He got V1 over by himself. He turned personal tragedy into Matt Hardy Will Not Die. And now he's got this Matt Hardy, broken Matt Hardy, the owner of, well, maybe nobody really owns Skarsgård, the dilapidated boat, but he certainly mines and keeps after him. He drew 1 million viewers to TNA, which is probably more people than have watched that show in a very, very, very long time.
Mm-hmm.
So
after that Brooke Hogan drop off?
Yeah. After that big Brooke Hogan drop off. I mean, he's doing it again. I don't know how long it's going to last, but Rachel.
Yes. Hi.
Final deletion. Hello.
Hi. What's up?
How's it going?
Oh, I'm fine.
Just midway through the show, check.
Yeah, no, I'm good. I feel really good.
Great. Final deletion was that sort of thing that ingrained this gimmick into the public consciousness. Everybody was talking about it. Mm-hmm. Now TNA's putting out a sequel entitled Delete and Decay. Comes out Thursday. What are you hoping to see from that? Are you hoping to see that? if you're looking forward to it. I don't want to presume.
Of course I am. Of course I am. Of course I'm looking forward to it.
What do you want to see?
I don't have any expectation. When you bring something to the world that they've brought it to, nothing that I can think of is going to be... Okay, what I will say is I do hope to see a little bit more of the actual fighting. I love the exposition, and I ate it up, and I was on it immediately. But the match itself was hyperbolic and ridiculous. So I would love to see more like burning crosses and ooh, that's
there it is. All right.
There's the sound bite.
There it is.
Rachel Evans available for work now.
I'm a Jew. You don't want me. I don't really have any expectation, and that's the way that I like to go into most things in wrestling because I don't read the dirt sheets and I don't make predictions because I take me on this ride. So I don't hope to see anything except for exactly what they want to show me. Wow. I'm a politician.
Yeah. You get a little bit of that rhino magic.
Yeah. Ooh. Yucky.
We'll have crackers and cheese for you after the show.
I was hoping. It was on my rider, but like that's fine.
Danielle, is there any... they had a fireworks fight. Maybe grave digging. There's the boat.
I don't know, where do you go? Do you go in space?
Yes.
Does he show us what the future looks like in 150 years?
Oh my God.
Is Vanguard 1 gonna make it, is he gonna do some stuff? That is one of the nice things. I don't want them to go back to this well more often than you can have the crazy fights, just don't call it a deletion because we're already doing that. But they can literally go anywhere. There's nothing that's closed off. If it's science fiction-y and weird and stupid, they can do any of it. Mm-hmm. I assume we'll see more of Senior Benjamin.
Sure. Is that his father-in-law?
That's what I've read in places, that's his dad-in-law.
God, I hope that's true.
I kind of do, too. I think it should be a family affair.
I love the family aspect of it.
Yeah.
They're all into it. They're all like, yeah, aspect. Dad. This is exactly what you should be doing.
It's a friendlies. This is for families.
I got embarrassed. I was just on vacation with my family, and I got embarrassed because my dad asked for one pancake instead of two. So, imagine if my dad was Matt Hardy. I would have no tolerance for it.
With your hair, you look so stupid.
Stop trying to eat those pancakes with Vanguard 1.
I know.
I think his baby didn't have, because they did that where they showed, the viewing for the kid.
Yeah.
And the kid was not here for it.
But, the wife was?
Well, look, she let them taser her, so there's not, a limit to what she's going to allow the Hardys to involve her in.
Now, granted, this is over. It's the only thing people are really talking about when it comes to TNA.
Yeah.
In fact, there's another one of these coming out. Is Matt Hardy, is this character the kind of character you can build a brand around? And if so, how do you do that?
I think so. I think so. I think that it's all just based in hyperbole. And so, I think Lucha Underground does that.
Yeah.
I think they've built a brand around being just the most extreme version of themselves. So why not have that but for science fiction nerds instead of telenovela nerds?
Yep.
Why not? Give it to me.
That's exactly what I've been saying. Yeah. I don't see if Lucha is doing it. Lucha, of course, takes themselves not seriously, but they are not... Mm-hmm. Broken Matt Hardy is for people who are in on the joke, which normally is a thing that I hate. I hated Snakes on the Plane. I hate all that. I hate Sharknado. I don't like stuff that's but in this case, they're making it work. And it's probably that they're just making it work because TNA in itself is already so bad that
whatever.
Yeah. So I think you can. And I think that there is a way to mix those weird science, because not everything on Lucha Underground is, Aztec magic. There are just some things that are just straight up street fights or just straight up fights. Mm-hmm. It's not all about death and crazy dudes and dragons and magic rocks and shit. Well, not magic, but you know what I mean. I think you can do that. I do think that maybe you could bring a couple of other people onto the show, but I just... At a certain point,
If they fuck around too much, it's going to become RoboCop on, you know, it's going to become RoboCop on Nitro. It's going to become like, it's going to become, what's his name, Glacier. So I do think you got to be really careful with it. But as long as they continue to know that what they're doing is dumb, I think it can keep being fun.
But what's wrong with that evolution? Because I don't see anything wrong. TNA is not doing anything for the wrestling fan.
That's
we have
story.
ROH. Like, I got good wrestling. Like, I don't, it's okay. I have New Japan. I have Lucha. Like, I don't need TNA to be my hub for wrestling. So why not turn it into something? Why not evolve it into something that is...
Oh, yeah. And I don't mind that. I just like I think you would start to get to a point where it would start to get lazier.
Sure.
Yeah. And then it's not as good.
Sure, I don't think that's the direction they're going. I think they're just capitalizing on Matt Hardy getting himself over again.
Mm.
And this suffers from, to my estimation from watching TNA, it feels more like watching like old Memphis wrestling or Atlanta wrestling when it was territory. In that feels like a smaller production. It's never going to fill arenas like WWE does. It's not going to have the rabid fan base that Ring of Honor does. But having a broken Matt Hardy as your backbone would be the same problem as having Bray Wyatt as the backbone in the WWE, in that it doesn't quite fit. The thing that those territories did, if you had like Kamala coming in, was he was from another universe, quote unquote, but brought in to wrestle. Yeah. That was the whole point. He was there to wrestle. This is like some theater of the absurd where it doesn't fit. Like Damian Sandow doesn't fit against broken Matt Hardy that I can figure. Just as a lot of the times people wrestling, Cena and Wyatt made their program work because it's Cena and Wyatt. Mm-hmm. But Wyatt against Randy Orton didn't work. Didn't work against Dean Ambrose because there wasn't a clear – you have no idea what Bray Wyatt wants. In that way, Matt Hardy's even better as a character. Because if you listen to his – and you have to listen to Talk as Jericho to get it. But when you listen to him explain the character while in character, it makes sense. Oh, he's jealous of his brother.
Mm-hmm.
And all through his career, he's had to be second fiddle. So the only way he could do it is to lose his mind and delete him. So deletion means I'm taking his identity. He doesn't get to be Jeff Hardy anymore.
Yeah.
Now I'm Jeff Hardy.
I do agree he needs a perfect foil. He needs a Matanza. Like, he needs a strong, silent type who's just going to be like, you're ridiculous. I'm going to kick your ass. And right now he doesn't really have that. But who knows? Maybe they'll do something good? I don't know.
Hey, move in that direction. Why not? But like I mentioned, you can see Broken Matt Hardy on TNA this Thursday evening. That's tonight. And if you miss it, it's probably on YouTube. When we come back... The seven deities have given us visions of three recommendations from the world of wrestling, which we will so share with you. This is Tarts and Farts.
Attention, Europe. This fall, Maximum Fun is bringing a bunch of your favorite podcasters to London. Catch Judge John Hodgman, International Waters, and Bullseye all recording live episodes at the London Podcast Festival. We'll have fan meetups and we'll be joined on stage by a glittering array of celebrity guests. The London Podcast Festival runs September 22nd through 26th, and you can buy your tickets right now. Just go to MaximumFun.org.
Tights and Fights.
Welcome back to Tights and Fights. I'm Hal Lublin. With me in the booth are
Danielle Radford
and
Rachel Evans.
To finish off the show, we're going to put over three things from the world of wrestling that we think deserve your attention. We call it the three count. Danielle, kick us off. What do you want to put over?
So I sat through all of Raw before I went and got wasted on a lot of real cheap vodka for my birthday. So I am going to put over what I thought was the best moment on Raw. And it was during a talkie segment. And of course, it was just Chris Jericho, because of course, it's going to be Chris Jericho. So let's go ahead and take a listen.
You know, I did reward that with a title match, but I'm going to reward your behavior with a match tonight against your former best friend, Sami Zayn.
What?
Stefan. You better back Stefan, off.
Stefan, you're
sorry.
Back off.
I mean,
whoa.
Can you believe this?
Who the hell do you think you are, Foley, huh?
disrespecting my best friend and the longest reigning WWE Universal Champion in history? Huh?
7 days.
Yeah. How dare you? You know, why Seth Rollins? You
give Seth Rollins, it's so good. And it's not only one of those things, it's obviously funny because it's accurate. It's also just like, that's best friend goals, man. Mm-hmm. I need a best friend that's going to get in Stephanie McMahon's face and be like, nah, and then just like tout my accomplishments.
Chris, I just want to throw it out there. I was backstage at Raw a few months ago. You and I passed each other in the hallway and you briefly made eye contact with me. I think we'd be real good friends.
Best friends?
I'm going to throw it out there.
I think you are best friends now.
I think that's what sustained eye contact means. Yeah, that's what it means. We're best friends. Call me, man. Let's hang out. That'll be real cool. Rachel?
Hi. Oh, right. I'm putting over Lucha Underground Season 3. It premiered on Wednesday.
Yeah.
And I selfishly am on the panel for Lucha Underground After Buzz, After Show. Cool. I'm good at talking. Look forward to that. More of this, please. More specifically, you can listen to this if you would like to.
Yeah, let's hear it.
You know, I'm back. I'm ready to fight. Throw anything you have my way, Johnny Mundo, Pentagon Dark, Monster Matanza, or maybe an old friend of mine, Chavo Guerrero. Whoever you want, send it my way, because I'm ready to dial it up. 6-1-9 style.
Here it comes, signature maneuver. 6-1-9!
If you feel like you're not a believer, I can tell you this. You will soon be one.
The king is risen!
Lucha Underground every week on El Rey.
Rey Mysterio, get at me!
Yeah, well, yes! And this is, remember, this is the season where you guys are probably going to see my titties. I told them this story. I put it on the podcast. Oh, I haven't told you this.
No.
Oh my god, I'm the worst friend. So we went to a bunch of Lucha Underground tapings.
Yeah.
And for one of them, we got sat right behind the booth. And you know, as I've explained, I have no back anymore because that time a bus hit me in it.
So I
was trying to get comfortable in those little seats, and so I was like kind of leaning forward to take some of the and like putting my hands on my knees to take some of the pressure off my lower back.
Sexy.
It's during a segment while like the announce team is going, and I look over and the director is just like giving me this look and shaking his head, and I realize I'm wearing a low cut dress and I look like I'm just presenting myself.
Oh, make sure if that happens, make sure to text me immediately, and that will be the only thing I talk about on AfterBuzz. I will be fired, but I do not care.
So check out season 3 of Lucha Underground with Rey Mysterio in the main event facing Pentagon Dark. If you haven't seen it already, if you didn't watch it last night, check it out and then check out the after show with Rachel. And hey, we can all check out Danielle's décolletage, apparently.
Oh,
that's part
hell
of it.
Yeah.
Birthday boobs.
Oh, man.
The Attitude Era is coming to El Rey.
Finally, something to live for.
This fall. All right, guys, here's the thing with me. You know, usually I'm going to put over Jericho, but that's been done already. I like the classic wrestling promo. Tell me why you're tough. Tell me why you're going to beat the other person. Tell me when the match is. Give me all the information and spell it out. There are a few people who do that as well as Dean Ambrose did Tuesday night with AJ Styles. Check it out.
Nothing against John, but you beat John Cena in a wrestling match. On that night, you were the better wrestler than John Cena, but that's not the game I play. When you're in the ring with me, it's a battlefield. It's my battlefield. I drag guys to places they've never been before. I drag guys underwater where they can't breathe anymore, past their breaking point. If anybody knows that, it ought to be you, because the only time me and you were ever in the ring together, I beat you. But I'm not walking around here with an AJ Styles jockstrap on my forehead reminding the world that I beat you once before. I'm not living in the past. I'm looking at the future. I'm looking toward this Sunday at Backlash. I get to do it again. I get to drill your head into this canvas like it was a railroad spike, and I get to walk out still WWE World Champion. If you want a trophy, son, you better pick that up. You better take up bowling, because we don't give away trophies around here for the face that comes in second place.
Simple, effective, makes you want to watch the match. Everybody take note.
Yo, that's a good promo, but when he gets to the part where he's like, I take people to the edge, I'm going to need to see the receipts on that, because it has been a hot minute since he has taken anybody to anybody's edge. So go ahead and send them receipts. I am at Danielle Radford on Twitter.
Yeah, honey, Dolph seems fine to me.
Yeah, it seems like he's walking around just okay. You did not slap the highlights out of that man's hair, so...
Colonel's walking around real fine.
That does it for this week on Tights and Fights. We are a podcast on the Maximum Fun Network. This week, our hosts are Danielle Radford and Rachel Evans, along with me, Hal Loveland. Rachel, thank you for joining us.
Oh, man. Yay. Thank you so much for having me. Seriously, I'm a fan.
Oh, thank you for coming. Wrestling is for friends.
Yeah. Tell everybody where they can find you online so they can talk to you about wrestling stuff.
Oh, please. My Twitter and Instagram is at Rachel Sam Evans or Rachel Sam Vans. It really depends on how your brain works. My DMs are open.
Mm-hmm.
Queens and Kings. And also, please check out my YouTube channel, Snarled, and check out the Lucha Underground After Show on AfterBuzz every Thursday.
You
yes,
got
honey.
It. You yeah. have your marching orders. There you go. Our producer / GM is Julian Burrell. Senior producer at Maximum Fun is Colin Ribs Anderson. Mike Eagle will be back next week to tell us all about his experience at LA's Wrestling Extravaganza PWG. So
yes.
definitely look forward to that. A lot of you have been doing a great job of sharing the show with your friends, so thank you very much. Don't forget to rate and review us on iTunes. There's plenty of wrestling happening every week, so let's keep the conversation going, okay? Find us on Twitter at TightsFights. Find our Facebook group link on MaximumFun.org. We'll be back next week to talk about even more, you guessed it, wrestling.
Tights and Fights Podcast. Tights and Fights.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.